Fantastic. We want to welcome everyone to the 90-day Blitz call. And this call is about
What is this call about?
It's setting up parameters for something that you'd like to accomplish in life, and you're the one who decides what you'd like to accomplish. Explaining digital currency to people, whether it's introducing cryptocurrency to a friend, or whether it's just realizing how closely digital currency and sacred geometry go hand in hand. I mean, sacred commerce go hand in hand. And I am so thankful that you're here. I congratulate each and every one that's here. We invite you to commit to a daily action that you'll take for a period of 90 days. And if you commit to a daily action, it'll activate your business, your success, and your wealth. Once you decide an action that you commit to, make it easy enough so you can win, make it hard enough to stretch your comfort zone. You can start a 90-day blitz at any time. You can encourage new members to join the call. Once you start on a 90-day blitz for yourself, stick with it. And stick with it every day for success, or every week for success. I prefer the everyday portion of it, and it's entirely up to you as to what you'd like to do and what you'd like to accomplish. Anyhow, what I'd like to do is just offer a brief opening statement from a book, page 104, Sacred Commerce. I'm in Sawath, and Rowan Gabriel are the writers of the book. And I'm going to just start with a statement, and let's see how it fits into the topic that's been prepared for today. The internet offers one of the most challenging and exciting opportunities the human race has ever encountered. It is the means by which we may finally be able to bring harmony, spiritual balance, and abundance for all people. I've selected this as a topic for today's discussion from the book Sacred Commerce, is because let's just take the phrase apart. Is the internet challenging? For me, it is. Is it exciting? Yes, it is. I've learned things that I could have never learned otherwise. Is it a means where we can bring harmony, spiritual balance, and abundance for all people? Let's find out. Jim, you're on. I'd like to introduce Jim Hamilton, author and writer of the book Visionaries Thrive in All Times. The book that changed my life. And because of the words that Jim put down on pieces of paper, or rather thoughts, that through you, that were put on pieces of paper and bound into a book, it truly, truly changed my life. And for that, I'm extremely, extremely thankful. Jim, you're on.
Thank you, JP. I apologize about being late. I was dialing in on the line I normally use, and it wasn't connecting. I had to try it several times to decide I needed to go to an alternative phone system. But I have to say, to begin, Visionaries Thrive in All Times changed my life, too. And the way I'd like to explain that really quickly is that writing becomes a means of voyaging and learning and discovering, because as you write what you know, you're presented with what's next. You're presented with the accumulation of your thoughts, which draw conclusions, and you write those down. And as you draw those conclusions and write them down, more conclusions are drawn, and you write those down. It is the most incredible method of introspection, of inner discovery, and it's something that we all must do, that introspective mode, sooner or later, and hopefully not on our deathbed, hopefully well before. Hopefully it becomes our lifestyle to explore where we have not yet been, to discover what we've not yet discovered, and even, if you want to get carried away, to share it with others. And frankly, as you line up more with what is true, sharing with others becomes natural because you're now communicating with a commonality that everybody shares, which is the truth. Now, for me, the truth has a spiritual component. It's all spiritual. And so in the documenting what I've done, I've ended up with, for lack of a better expression, extraordinary material, and I've been very lucky. I'll also say I journaled for 2 years beforehand, and that journaling was all the catharsis and got all the surface stuff out of my mind on paper, and then I started writing. And of course, I have 5 books and about 150 articles now. The last article I wrote was called Relentless Optimism. It's curious, that's when I stopped writing, but that was the last article I wrote. So, thank you, JP, for your remarks about the book. A big old giant raven just landed on a tree just outside my patio. I can see him right here from the phone. Now, that's... All right, so anyway...
There must be something funny going on because a blue jay just came and landed 3 or 4 feet away from me, and he's looking at me. He knows he wants me to give him some walnuts. It's a common thing that he does. But at the same time, your raven flew in, a blue jay flew in.
Well, this raven has his back to me.
That are happening in the universe.
Yeah, well, so that becomes another component of truth, is when something is true, it's always true. And as we learn how to align with the truth, we discover our commonalities, we discover our shared purpose, we discover actually how to help each other. And I have seen through JP's support the part digital currency plays in all of this. And I was just remarking to somebody last night, I don't remember, well, I sat in on a talk last night, and the idea that you can own the end result of your thoughts and your labor or your inventions or discoveries, that you can own that end result. In other words, your energy expended is stored as currency. Generally speaking, it's stored in the banks and all that, and Federal Reserve notes, and those guys are not your best friends. They're not your best friends. They're not your friends at all, in fact. And so to store the energy of what's the truth of you expressing into the world, whether it be sharing ideas for which you get paid, whether it's inventing things, whether it's writing books, that end result is yours as digital currency, hardly has an equal in the uprising of humanity right now. In other words, humanity is finding itself, and the ownership of what is ours is huge. Only 80 or 100 years ago, women did not have the right to own land. They couldn't own anything in their name. They couldn't vote. Not to mention minorities and on and on. The ability to own something to the exclusion of all others is huge. And it's something that I think as we get behind and tie it to digital currency, our ability to express to others grows. From the last talk, I think it was Beverly in Santa Monica remarked about being compelled to help others in the hurricane, the Houston storm, being compelled to contribute. And I think that's where we want to get, is where we're compelled to help each other. It's not about, as JP has mentioned a number of times, it's not about fighting against, it's not about arguing about the subtleties about what's wrong and which way it's wrong. It's about how we start to do what's next, which is become a visionary, hold a vision for what we want, teach it to others, find tools to teach it to others, see the digital currency, the iPro, That's what it represents. And there's an uprising of humanity coming, even though the infrastructure, the old infrastructure, would rather ride on our backs. And we forget we're the top rung of the ladder. You've got God or innate intelligence. You've got humans. You've got government, and you've got residents and all that stuff. But the humans, they're the top rung. And to own what we own is crucial. It's bigger than computers becoming available to the masses. Because computers allowed you to document what you knew, and digital currency allows you to own what you own. So I want to go on to this. So let me just stop right there. Anybody have any remarks or comments, or you want to contribute or throw in some curveballs or anything?
Hi, Jim. Steve here from Myrtle Beach.
Hey, Steve.
So with the recent hurricane activity, people in a good part of the country are very much attuned to the disruptive nature of these huge natural events, and I think it's a great opportunity to talk about the economic disruption. It's the equivalent of a hurricane or a tsunami to our economy. This change over to a digital world, and cryptocurrency is a part of that. I boarded up my house. We're still days away from even knowing if the hurricane's gonna come here, even though almost all the models seem to show our coastal town here in South Carolina is gonna have a rough go of it. Even if the hurricane center is 100 miles away. Our governor put out a statement yesterday saying, look, I urge everybody in the state to imagine that the hurricane is coming tomorrow and do today what you would do if the hurricane was coming tomorrow, and get prepared. This is a great analogy to preparing for economic disruption. Our cryptocurrency, this pro currency, it's really low in price. There's very little downside risk of, you know, Bitcoin at $4,500. If it's really volatile, you could lose a lot in getting some, accumulating some. But when you're talking 6 cents, 8 cents, 20 cents a coin, you're not putting much at risk for a downside, and there's a real big upside potential to it. And so I just hope folks will, when people are talking about hurricanes, you look at there's a picture on the front page of the newspaper today of a causeway coming out of the Florida Keys. And it's line-to-line cars as far as you can see down this causeway. That's disruption. That's a tremendous disruption. And do you want to be you want to be a little bit ahead of the line? Anyway, I hope everybody has a great time, and these hurricanes don't disrupt you too much. But I also hope your friends and acquaintances get exposed to the advantages of preparing for disruption through cryptocurrency.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have anything they'd like to throw in?
I was listening carefully to what Steve said about the governor and preparation. Yes, I strongly believe in preparation. I also know that last night there was a meditation of several hundred thousand people across the country, across America, and they feel that if enough people focus on the hurricane dissipating and becoming nothingness, somehow the feeling was, through great consensus, that if we think hard enough that this thing dissipates and never touches land at all, do we have the power as people to do that through a group meditation? I read the article very, very carefully on the internet last night because I had just finished reading an article of something that occurred in Europe. But can the power of thought have the ability to disseminate information or to dissipate a storm? Preparation is good. And I love the way the governor can prepare. It's the truth of what really is at that point in time. But can our power of our thought change the course of history? Or are we making the course of history with power of thought? Thank you, Jim, for letting me share.
Very good. Very good, JP. Anybody else have any thoughts? So let me throw in a thought along these lines. I have to say, Visionaries Thrive in All Times is an interesting book. I think it's going to be around for a long time, and it's so far undiscovered, but writing and marketing are different things. But the first chapter is survival. I think the second chapter is individuality. Let's see here. Oh, it's perspective. But we have to look at how do we want to survive. We want to survive by reacting to life, or do we want to become... Do we want to do survival where everything is at our beck and call as we move? See, what we have to do is move on to what's next. Now, the storm is a, you know, an analogy or a, what's the word? It kind of keeps pace with what's going on in our lives. We all need to move forward. We need to address things in our lives. And the question is, how do we pick up? How do we go forward? Do we go forward in fear, or do we go forward in order? Do we join with other people and wish for the best and hope for the best? It's all part of our makeup to learn these things, where in the old days a bear would come into the cave and all we had was fire to fight the bear and that was it. And now we have computers and we have tools and we have knowledge and we have the way to be more responsible, more intentional. And I think I lived in Florida Keys for a long time, 8 years. And I know that both of those highways, it's divided highway, the whole thing basically, all of those lanes are going north. And it was planned for the eventual evacuation of the Florida Keys. I think this is the first time it's ever happened that in my remembrance. I've been down there since 74 or so. And so the question is, orderly. What's orderly? What we want is we want that synchronicity, harmony, and order in everything we do. We want that happenstance and that good luck in everything we do. And the question is, how do we have that? And a simple answer is we need to move away from fear and move into this bigger scale of order that we know it's available. And I love the idea that there's groups that are meditating on the safety of what's coming. And I wanted to head in a different direction just a tiny bit. JP, when he started the call, he mentioned the internet as being empowering, that it's bringing so much to so many. I wish I could recall how he actually said that. And I think I'd mentioned this once in a previous call. There's a book called The Global Brain by Peter Russell. Peter Russell's out of the UK. And he talks about how when a fetus is growing and a fetus brain, all of the brain cells will just suddenly grow. It happens over a relatively fast period of time. And all the brain cells will grow. And then in another instant, if you will, and of course the time frame is not instantaneously, but all the cells then connect to each other. And he compares that to humanity, where we have the internet, where we all start to get online and connect together. In other words, we become a larger whole as we discover our similarities, and the internet is a huge component of that. And I think there's a massive amount of use of the internet right now as we prepare for storms, prepare for supplies, prepare for all the components of order that we're looking for in our life. And I have to agree with Steve that part of the idea is safety and survival and protecting what we own, and digital currency is a huge... I see digital currency as just huge right now, because it empowers the human in so many different manners. Anybody have any thoughts?
What I'll do, Jim, is just restate the opening remarks I made.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm reading from a book called Sacred Commerce. It was gifted to me by a very, very close friend. Here it is. One more time. The internet offers one of the most challenging and exciting opportunities the human race has ever encountered. It is the means by which we may finally be able to bring harmony, spiritual balance, and abundance to bear for all. That's the phrase that I started this call with. And what I posted at 90 Day Bliss last night is a disruption for some, and it's a joy, it's a blessing for others. How can the same event become a blessing and a disruption at the same time? Those of you who haven't read the 90 Day Bliss page yet, I posted an article that was sent to me around midnight last night. 9 major banks at Europe and around the planet were hacked into, and their servers were turned off, and there was a deletion of ledger accounting of who owed what to whom. And the only banks that were targeted, okay, and there was a huge deletion that occurred last night, all right? Lots of loans just disappeared into thin air where they came from. And I'm laughing about it because this was highly, highly disruptive to the people who work at the bank and to the people who had those loans taken out and found out that they were gifted, given absolutely nothing when they received a loan. They were perfectly happy was the event that occurred because their loan payment concept coming from that particular bank just disappeared. And I thought about this. How can one event be a blessing for some and be a real detriment for some? And the only reason that this event occurred, it was a concentrated effort by a group of people who love sitting at a keyboard and they love to do what's called hacking. The concentrated effort was targeted against those institutions that paid for the seeding of a hurricane over Texas. They physically paid a weather modification team. This is where the funds came from. These are the banks that were targeted, that the funds were originated from. And these are the banks that were targeted to have their funding process removed from them And I look at it as both a disruption and a blessing. How do I look at it as a blessing? Because I know that certain banks in America are going to be targeted. I know that it's not a threat that's been issued. It's a promise. And the promise is being fulfilled little by little by little. These are the banks that paid for weather modification control to be placed into effect to submerge, that's the only thing I can say, submerge large portions of Texas. Do they in fact deserve to continue to promote that type of behavior? And are there forces behind the scenes that are willing to curtail that type of behavior? What would you do if your U.S. dollars at your bank were closed out off from you through a hacking system? Are you prepared with a backup wallet of digital currency to use in case you were to have to do that? That's a question. That's why I pose it as four questions. And is it something that I would use? Yes. Can I explain it in detail? Yes. The key factor is, can you express it in the way that it would benefit someone? It would become, people can see it both as a blessing and a curse. The blessing is, digital currency is not something that can be hacked. It's on a blockchain. You own it free and clear. Very, very simple. Can it be used to the internet transactions? Yes, it can. I'd like to just read one more thing here. The internet gives us a freedom of informed choice, putting us in a larger picture and making that larger picture available to anyone who asks the right question. For this reason, the World Wide Web calls for responsibility and responsible choices. Above all, because of its equally great potential to deluge us with too much information, the internet is a wake-up call to our powers of discernment. Would anyone like to comment? Jim, I turn it over back to you.
Yes, who'd like to comment? It occurs to me, powers of discernment. So we're if somebody's getting ready to speak, I don't mean to interrupt, but powers of discernment come with a gut feeling of what's right and wrong. You can feel the difference when you read stuff or when you get involved in things. You have a gut feeling that's associated with that, and it's actually something we all need to learn. You know, you've got a lot of what they call it, fake news out there, and it's exciting, and it's written to raise the emotions and get people excited, whether positive or negative. But part of survival, part of going forward, is knowing the truth. And the truth, we can find the truth from our gut. Our gut tells us the difference between right and wrong. And the internet is a massive collection of information, a massive collection of humanity expressing itself, for which some of it is more useful than others. And the question is, how do you decide what's important to you, what feeds you, and what causes you to become more your potential? Anybody have any thoughts on the internet and the power of discernment? Anybody have any thoughts?
Yes, I do, Jim. Just that Russia just did that to the tune of $100,000 worth of advertising on Facebook during the campaign. So, interesting how that can be used. That power.
And of course we don't
power
know
influence.
We don't
not,
know
who, not the power of discernment.
Yeah, we don't know who did that. It's Russia. We don't know, you know, if that's, gosh, we don't know much. We don't really know the actual origination of it though, do we?
Well, not yet, but they'll be learning more about that, I'm sure. So that's just an example of how we do need to use our power of discernment because of, you know, influences that are not in our best interest.
Well, you know, we can hop between news stories so fast. We can hop between all kinds of ideas. We can ride, you know, we all pay attention to the news. I mean, I'm dipping in to watch the hurricane. I used to keep a boat in Key Largo, and I got really good at predicting hurricanes. I had to. But my point is that we can, through discernment... Oh, cool. My phone works again, maybe. And my point is, with discernment, we can ride the rails of any kind of calamity or peace or make choices toward what we want. There's going to be no end to this. I wonder how I can... Lots of phones going on here. I actually can't hear right this second, so hold on. All right. Sorry. Discernment's interesting stuff. I mean, so like we don't know where the Russian, you know, the Facebook deal came from. That could have been false flag stuff. It could be all kinds of stuff. And my point is there's no end to the disruption going on and all the kind of really the dumb things. And we have to decide really how much of our time and attention we want to put following and chasing that stuff around versus through discernment, putting our attention where we want to go. I think most people that get hurt in storms or calamities or this or that kind of do what everybody else is doing. And unless you're clear about what you want, you will end up with what everybody else ends up with. And the internet is a vast mechanism of information. And we can pick and choose what... There's the doorbell. Luckily, I don't have to answer that. Lots of stuff going on this morning. Ravens and phones. And we can discern where we want to put our attention. Just to give you an idea of what I'm actually talking about, visionaries thrive in all times comes from an expression that I heard years ago at an Abraham seminar. Observers thrive in good times and suffer in bad. Visionaries thrive in all times. And of course the point becomes, as an observer, we simply are reacting to what's going on around us, and we're not in charge of anything. You see? And what we want to do is, we become a visionary, we want to see through to the end result of what it is we want. A lot of people are in chaos and the keys getting out of there. I'm sure it's orderly nonetheless. But some people are even more orderly and they're clear about what they're doing. In fact, they might have always been prepared. And I think preparation is a part of discernment and making choices. Anybody want to add to that?
Hi, this is Beverly in California. Hello, everybody. This has been an amazing conversation. For me, I think everyone does, that we have 24-hour news, 24-hour internet. It's that it, on so many levels of crisis that's happening, because we're getting it instantly before it would take. It would take a long time for most people to find out certain things are happening. And we're getting motion so fast, constantly, where I think it's starting to numb most people, you know, because it's so much happening so fast. It's like, okay, there's another one. Okay, there's another crisis. And I find it to be somewhat interesting that I'm seeing, like on the internet, that there's, well, there's fires, you know, on the western part of the United States. And, you know, there's tons of floods and hurricanes and tornadoes and God knows what else. But I find it to be interesting that certain places are being fired more so than others. Like, I watch, you know, CNN, and they're mainly talking about Texas fire, I mean, storms, and Florida and the Caribbean. But I'm not, but then I saw something that was, is happening in Montana, and I love geography and all of that, but I find that to be one place I rarely hear anything that's going on in Montana, that I find certain states in America you rarely ever hear about, literally. And I find that to be interesting, how some states you rarely hear about what's going on in where they live. You know, like, and I just find that to be very interesting to me. Aren't the humans there, you know? And chaos is insane. I don't like it, but that's life. A lot of things happen in chaos, and something good comes out of it. You know, it's horrible, no doubt about it. But something always comes out, God willing, good out of it. And for people to find deep down inside the core, it's mostly good. Not in all cases, because some people take advantage of people in a storm. That's how they benefit from. People are in chaos, are in trouble, and they take advantage of the weak. Most people at their most vulnerable state, they take advantage of them. I just find a lot of this, what's going on, is speeding up really fast. A lot of disasters that are happening literally. Let's not just say all over the world, but it is, but it's happening a lot. Much faster and much more disastrous, and like it's never been done before. It's constantly warring. The wind has never before in the Caribbean. The water has never risen that high before. Everything is historical. It's never been done before. It's like, dear Lord, I'm just amazed with what's happening to our universe. And I'm in constant prayer, link like minds together, and be in constant prayers for the waters to calm, the winds to calm down, and for us humans to just continue to care and love one another, and do the best we can to help each other. I think that's about all we can do. And that's plenty. That's my heart song right now. Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't get your first name.
I'm Beverly Washington in Santa Monica, California.
Oh, yeah, Beverly, great. Well, you know, I think it's interesting as things get wilder, the polarities become clearer. In other words, we have to make choices, the difference between right and wrong. We have to decide where we want to put our attention. And while things get wilder and crazier, there's also, how would I say it? I think as humanity wakes up, the contrast of what was unacceptable becomes even less acceptable. My point is, we need to learn to put our attention where we want, and even with the backdrop of all these calamities, we're discovering even more so that taking care of each other is the secret. And yeah, there's always people that take advantage of each other. You've always got 10% or whatever, 5% of the population that will always do that. But what these calamities are doing are causing us to recollect and take care of each other, and this is what needs to happen. And in fact, you can see that the government, the banking system, they're not really part of the solution, and so we can't look to them, and so our choice is to look to each other, and in that we need to learn how to become empowered and look to each other in an empowered manner. And of course, all my work says you need to partner with something bigger than yourself. I call it innate intelligence, for which you now have more capacity for being a visionary. You have more insight because you're partnered with something bigger than yourself. And this is the new leadership, and it's the calamities that are the backdrop that help us know the difference.
And people are volunteering more.
Absolutely. I don't know the particular thing that I think I think I heard it kind of as a ancillary remark. I wasn't directly involved in the conversation or whatever, but there's more people. I know what it is. They're so inundated with volunteers in Texas that they have a structure for directing all the volunteers. That's their problem.
That's a good problem to have.
So the humans are waking. See, this is what's going on. This is what this digital currency is all about. We have relied on this old infrastructure to manage our stuff. And they're not doing a good job.
That's right.
And it's very curious that digital currency is showing up exactly at the time that the humans need it to start having better charge of their own affairs. And we want to teach it to each other. Out of contrast comes clarity. So we've got storms, we've got knuckleheaded government decisions, we've got all kinds of dumb stuff going on. I'll tell you what's interesting, the dreamer, I've been way too busy to follow the news very much. DACA, D-A-C-A, this decision that Trump has done a thumbs down to. There are about 11 states that are suing the federal government over that. And what's happening is now the states are starting to chant, you know, I've seen this twice now, states challenging federal encroachment in what are actually states' responsibilities. And so the states are starting to step up, challenging federal claims of authority, and on and on. And the more local it gets, the better off we are. Ultimately, the county is the strongest political subdivision, by the way, on the planet or in this country. And so as we take it away from Fed or start to take responsibility ourselves, next thing you know, you've got the state legislatures, which are, you know, closer to representing you. Nothing federal represents you, unless you're trying to get your Social Security check, which I personally wouldn't take. I won't take. But so this things are getting wilder and crazier, and actually it's getting easier to make choices, and that's what's going on. And as we clump together and get clear about what's what, we'll discover that the hurricanes won't be the problem they were. Well, there's a lot of disruption in the world. A lot of it comes from these artificial entity governments attempting. What's curious, an artificial entity is a corporation. A corporation has no nervous system, no capacity to know the difference between right and wrong. And what the corporations have done as the government, whatever, they've grown what I call egos. An artificial entity has a survival mechanism, and the artificial entities are living on the backs of the humans. And as long as we continue to look to them for leadership, we are sunk. And this is all changing. We're making decisions based on out of contrast comes clarity. We're making decisions because there's new inventions that help us hold on to what is ours. Computers are incredibly empowering. It's a very interesting time to be alive right now. And there's new tools coming as we reach out for having more of what is ours be our own. New tools show up. The computer was incredible, and now we got digital currency. I don't know bigger things than digital currency and computers right this minute. Internet, of course. Anybody else?
But let's put some perspective to it real quickly. Electronic learning internet learning has a business value or volume of $200 billion. Electronic commerce, people purchasing things on the internet, has now risen to a volume of $4 trillion. Electronic commerce rather than brick and mortar. Everything is moving to click and order. And then when we look at electronic currencies, they have a value now circulating through the internet that people are conducting commerce amongst themselves, and the value of electronic currency, and this is as of last month, so those are the only statistics that I have, is the total value of electronic commerce that's circulating through the internet right now is $5 trillion in value. And the seven-year growth of electronic learning, when you look back just 7 years, electronic learning was only at 100 million. It's now at 200 billion. Electronic commerce 7 years ago used to be at 4 million. Now it's at 4 trillion. And this is just a 7 year time period. Electronic currency 7 years ago used to be less than 100 million. It's now at 5 trillion electronic currencies that are circulating through the internet. When we see the changes that the internet is bringing, and we have the capacity with IPN not only to combine electronic learning, electronic commerce, and electronic currency or e-currency into one network, we now have something that we can actually, this is how I share with people. IPN is a startup company in a new field creating a model that has never before been attempted. We are combining four trending industries, and I have to call them industries, together into one platform. What does that really do? You realize the volume of value that's being going through the internet. One of the things that I value so much is people helping other people. And Beverly put it very, very succinctly, people volunteering to help those assistants. And I watched a video. It was just a short video. It was about, I guess, less than 45 seconds. There was a National Guard truck that was stuck in a puddle of mud. And the National Guardsmen had gotten out of the truck before it was inundated with water. And they swam to safety. And a group of people that had these large tires on their trucks that love going back roading, they hooked up a cable to the National Guard truck, and they pulled it out of the water and pulled it up onto land, and all of the men who were from the National Guard got back in their truck. Somehow it still functioned because it was a sealed system of fuel injection rather than carburation. Everything still worked. The control still worked, and they drove away. When I saw these, they call them, I don't know, crazy rednecks is what the term that was used during the video. They helped people who had gotten stuck so that they can continue to help other people as the position that they had as being the National Guard to keep the peace and to assist people. The truck was filled with supplies that the people in another town so sorely needed, and the truck had gotten stuck. Because people chose to help other people, stuck, the supplies moved to the destination and assisted so many people. I see what's happening with the calamities as maybe it's a good thing because people are coming together. And is that really what we need? Is that a disruption that we really, really need within the banking system to bring our awareness to the point of electronic currency, society as a whole? One of the things I want to comment on is one of the banks that was hacked last night was the government bank of Kenya, Africa. Now, Kenya, Africa has been using digital currency for a period of 9 years. The people have been thriving. Their economy is thriving. Their economy is booming. Buildings are being built because people are coming together with electronic. cryptocurrency to help each other. Businesses are growing and thriving. The people are thriving in and of themselves. Various different degrees of anger, hostility, robbery, murder has decreased so drastically within the country over a period of 9 years. The only bank at Kenya, Africa, that was hacked was a government bank that's controlled by an organization called the Rothschild Investment Trust. One bank got hacked at all of Kenya. The digital currency that the people used was left alone. And I look at that as a potential just to raise the awareness level that hackers can hack anything, yet they're choosing to stay away from hacking anything having to do with digital currency. But they're hacking something that is a baseless commodity fiat-based currency instead of taking an opportunity to hack something that the people have created for use amongst themselves as a medium of exchange that is not only timeless, as you mentioned, Jim, but it's also safe, it's secure, and it's blockchain encrypted. It is an immutable ledger that cannot be changed, and you do own it free and clear. I look at digital currency, e-currency, e-commerce, and e-learning as something that brings people together, uniting and exalting people rather than dividing people. And that's my take on it. But I love the way Beverly shared the fact that people are coming together and volunteering to help other people. It's a blessing, a real blessing. Thank you for letting me share. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, JP.
Or would anyone else like to comment?
Yes, please.
Basically, you never know when it'll be your turn and you're going to need help. So I think that's what instinctively people do. People were all helping people in Texas and Florida and whatnot. Now they're in a crisis. So I think people are coming around to realize you better help your neighbor, you better help your brother, your sister, you human beings, because one day you may need help. I think that's what's happened to us. It's making us more like, you better help out, because when you cry, you want somebody to help you. I like how you put it, speaking, JP.
Yeah, it's
such a valuable conversation. Thank you, everybody. I think it's us for to be more kind and more loving with each other, because it's not just the internet, but television, TV shows are bombarded with so much, making it sexy how to shoot people and kill people. It makes it like it's really cool and it's beautiful. It's a cool thing. It's just humans are, but I'm aware of the decadence and the violence of, it's cool and it's sexy how to murder people. But it's like, dear God, what's going on? You know what I mean? And I like it that whenever you talk about Kenya, JP, it lights me up, because like you said, it's less violence, it's less corruption and all of that. People are, you know, enjoying life. They're enjoying being decent to one another because they're not stressed, you know. And I just appreciate every time I hear you talk about it. I think we need less violence, less ways of destroying each other. I don't get it. I don't want to destroy anybody.
Well, that's where digital currency brings people together, because it's not something that it's a baseless fiat currency that people are exchanging with one another. It has value both to the receiver and to the giver of the currency.
A win-win.
Any other comments?
Hey, JP, this is Tom. Hello, Jim, and everybody.
Hey, Tom.
Good to hear from you. I've been on the whole call. Been phenomenal. And, you know, some people could accuse this call of being chit-chat or just idle conversation, but I would say not, because in life there's linear learning and non-linear learning. And I think what we learn here is a lot of paradigms of non-linear learning, where it's not information in, information out. It's a lot about, like, learning the sense, like you said, the gut feeling, discernment, goosebumps, receiving innate the universe and really being in tune to that. And I love how you said that you wrote for 2 years, Jim. And finally, after 2 years and getting a lot of the stuff out, then you were able to write, to actually write Deep in Potatoes. And I think the human race is a lot of noise. We're caught up with all the noise. But, you know, I do believe that this recent phenomenon with the calamity that just happened down in Houston really brought people together in such a way. I think I saw the cutest thing ever on TV. I don't know if anybody saw it, but it was Anderson Cooper doing one of his nightly specials. And he was able to reunite a man that rescued a boy and his mother in a canoe. And Anderson on one screen, and then on the next frame they had the guy that rescued them, let's call him Jason, and then the little boy and his mom. And the boy's not more than 8 or 9 years old, but it was absolutely the cutest little thing when the boy said he wants to be just like Jason when he grows up and rescue people. And he drew a little picture of the little dog at the head of the boat and him and his mom in the boat. And it was just the cutest little interaction. It was light. It was fun. It was people helping people. And it was so different that what we hear on the daily news day in, day out, you know, just all the political, you know, garbage that we hear, you know, this party versus that party. And I think that's all we've heard for like 7 or 8 years. And then lo and behold, it takes a disaster to bring people together and bring out the good in people. And cameras don't lie when they're delivering, you know, 30 pizzas to people from Pizza Hut on a kayak to people in knee-deep water. So there's a lot of corporate good out there, no matter what the media might say. And there's a lot of really good willpower and strong volunteer power out there. Like you said, to the point where people are overwhelmed with what to do with the volunteers, grateful for this call, and the non-linear courage that I'm getting and knowledge and just, you know, how to be in order and not chaos, and how to continue being a visionary, an observer, because that is what it's all about. You know, we've all been lucky to get on the 6% of the people so far that know about cryptocurrency. And I feel more order than I've ever felt in my whole life, just because I've had a little bit of inside information, just knowing that. And then hearing what happened last night with those 9 major banks, that just blows my mind. But all the more reason why we need to rely on the blockchain, so people don't, you know, can't get in there and can't hack it. So I love these discussions. I'm very happy to be here too, and thanks for letting me share. I love what we do.
Thank you, Tom. Anybody else real quick?
You're welcome. Thank you.
I know we've gone over time. I want a real quick remark about, there's a book called The Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein, and she talks about how certain institutions, they so overwhelm humanity with certain kinds of negativity that it leaves us numb and it leaves us out of our capacity to make choices and decisions. We all become numb. The news is overwhelming. The amount of, you know, they import horror stories from other states and other countries to fill the news, to fill our living rooms, and it keeps us numb. And we need to learn how to discern. We need to learn how to move away from that. We need to learn how to put our attention where it counts. It's that visionary mode. We use contrast to help us know the difference. We learn how to help each other. And it's the rise of the humans. The government and the artificial entities, they live on the backs of the humans. And the humans, as they rise, they don't need, and this other stuff will fall away. It's actually a battle for the soul of humanity on this planet right now. And the artificial entities have been the leaders for a very long time. Do we have somebody has a quote or some way to finish up our call today?
I have a short quote that jumped out at me that might be appropriate for this ending of this call.
Okay.
Here it goes. Millions of humans across every important sector of business today are working for a more abundant and a more conscious world by introducing digital currency. That's it. That's the quote. Page 109 from the book Sacred Commerce. Thank you all for being here, and bring somebody on the call tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim. Wonderful call. Thanks, everybody, for sharing. I loved it.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you all.
Participation.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jim, for getting your phone working.
Yeah, it's curious. I think I know what it is. I had a one of the cordless ones was off the hook. It wouldn't dial out. That's what I think it was. Anyway.
Okay. I'm glad we got the matter resolved in a timely manner.
Yes.
Did you know about the banks getting hacked last night?
No, I didn't know about that. No.
Okay. I get all kinds of interesting information, and what the people who actually did the hacking, they had no problem at all taking a screenshot of each place that they hacked and how long all their servers were in a hacked situation before they were corrected. Some of the places were 3 hours, some of the places were 6 hours, some of the places that got hacked took as long as 9 hours to get back online. But during the time period that after the hacking had occurred, and random, it was very, very selective, no one could withdraw or make a deposit to the institution because their computer systems were down. And to me, the deposits or withdrawals from an institution of that type, again, were always done in fiat currency. But what I looked at is, it was a real disruption for some people, the places they got hacked. It was a blessing for other people. But it created a concern and a new level of discernment with those people who are trying to make a deposit or trying to make a withdrawal. And they realized that who is in control of their value if they're not in control of their own personal digital currency wallet. So, yes, the awareness level of a means of a value exchange is actually being raised.
Yep.
Being raised to... anyhow, thank you for your comments today, and thank you for being on the call. And I truly, truly appreciate you, brother.
Well, we're having a good time, right?
That's all that counts, yes. Yeah. That's the main thing.
All right.
Thank you, Sophie. Thank you, Jim.
I'm glad there was somebody else listening, Carrie Lynn. It's always good to hear your voice.
I love the conversation, yeah. Bringing that truth out little by little.
Well,
I'm Aaron here, too. Love it. Love it.
Well, what we're learning, you know, this... You know, I hesitated finishing the call with the idea of the shock doctrine, but the powers that be, and I don't want to get specific because it doesn't matter, but the old system is doing whatever it can to maintain its power base, and it actually lives on the backs of the humans, and as the humans wake up, this will all change in a very significant manner, and it is about the soul of humanity. There's always been leaders, we've always looked to them, and in many respects we've done so at great expense, and we're starting to step into our power. The computer is a huge component of that, and we're definitely living in interesting times, no doubt about it. The opportunity for...
Oh, yes. Anyhow.
And that's what it's all designed
for. I agree.
For.
Those people who want to read the article in its entirety about the banks being hacked,
yeah.
I encourage and invite you all. Once you click the link, you can read the entire article, and you'll see every couple of paragraphs they have a post of a screenshot of how long certain servers were down. And to me, you know, it was a blessing for some and it was a disruption for others. We have to take, and instead of viewing it as a blessing or a disruption, it is what it is. It happened. It's over. We're here now. What are we going to do as far as a choice we're going to make to protect and preserve? Just like Steve mentioned, the governor's asking everybody to prepare. Is this a wake-up call for us to prepare and really learn how to use a digital currency wallet, how to use cold storage if we have to, like the people in Finland learned several months ago when the internet was down and they had transactions, they had boatloads of milk and cheese that had arrived at the docks. It couldn't be moved until the transfer of value was done. Since the internet was down, people only paid with Bitcoin for that entire shipload of information of food. The food was going to spoil until it was paid for and delivered. People wrote out their Bitcoin serial numbers, exchanged the serial numbers with others that had provided the goods or brought the goods to the port, and then they completed their transactions 3 days later when the internet was back up. And using a method, a simple, dignified method of writing down serial numbers on a piece of paper and using those as a medium of exchange in the cheese and whatever else it was that was in, needed to be delivered, did not get spoiled. The event occurred. It's documented. The event transpired very, very easily. There was no government interference, no government intervention, and yet everything fell into place smoothly, and 3 days later, all the value was exchanged using the internet as the means of exchange. We are living in marvelous times. It's little stories like these that really create a curiosity with someone that you're speaking with to take a closer look at how digital currency can serve them in the future. Anyhow, we are over time. I just thought it was you and I still left on the call. I didn't know who else was left on the call, Jim. But,
well, I'm glad we didn't tell any, share any trade secret or any government secrets or, you know, anyway, I'm teasing. No, I love the call. You know, digital currency is huge, but there's an underlying component of this whole thing that we need to come to understand. In other words, this is about empowerment, and there's a whole world for us to explore and to understand, and as we move into it, I think our ability to share with others becomes even more able. And I think it's, these are the times we were reading about 20 years ago. We're right in them, and how we handle them is how we turn out as a species, how we turn out as a population.
Were you on the Zoom cast last night with Robert McNulty?
No, you know, the house, we just got the master bathroom finished in the last day or so. We got new granite counters. We're in so much disruption here. I barely get some time at my desk once in a while. That's all settling down, so no.
Yeah, well, thank goodness for that. Anyhow, he did mention that the company that he built in a period of 3 years, he had just sold his company for $22 million. And he described in detail why he's joining IPN and bringing 60,000 people into a platform from what he called I Buy Right. He's the one, he was the creator of a concept called I Buy Right. And all 60,000 of his membership is now merging with IPN because the one component that he could never build into iBuyRight was e-currency, digital currency. He had the other two components, but not the component of shared economy and incentive-based buying, but he could never build into that platform the electronic currency, and that is his main reason for Robert McNulty to be joining with his entire team of people, successful entrepreneurs. They're joining IPN. So I see that as a real blessing, and I was just absolutely thrilled to be able to hear Mr. McNulty speak for a second time now on the Zoomcast last night.
Was that
Anyhow,
recorded
it's all a blessing. Yes, it always is recorded, and it will be posted at iPro Network Facebook page. page, and Bill Wynn is usually the gentleman who does the recording. And now I've also encouraged Bob Doyle, who is very, very good at making videos and recordings. I've encouraged Bob Doyle to do the same for his team, because Bob Doyle and Lynn Rose and myself and three other people, we're going to be building out a team in the Los Angeles area through Bob Doyle's expertise on the Internet. So just somebody I want to introduce you to, and I was kind of hoping for Bob to be on the call today, but I do know that he had some things that he had to take care of at his accountant's office, and something that was legal. So I didn't know, he didn't know if he'd be able to make it, but I did want to introduce you on this call to Bob Doyle, but also another gentleman, Joseph McClendon, two people that I spoke with at length yesterday. In any case, life is good, and I know that the construction work will be over soon, and that's when I'm going to come out and visit. I want to see the newly remodeled house.
Well, we postponed that. We just last night decided to postpone the housewarming from the 16th. We might bump it two weekends, two Saturdays. But yeah, we're going really hard and fast. We finally got everybody out of the house. The cooktop isn't hooked up. I put the sink together a couple days ago, but it's the whole thing's come out awesome, incredibly awesome. So.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be a real blessing. It'll be like having a brand new house, won't it?
Well, you know, we've just remodeled. Well, we've just updated some stuff and. Moving along, having a blast, making shit up. And it's working out really well.
Yeah. You make sure that you do some before and after pictures.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of that. Yeah.
Because it really, yeah, the contrast between before and after really makes someone appreciate the after so much more than they appreciated the before.
Yep. Well, yeah, we've got all of that, so, yeah. So
I know you're a busy guy, and I'm sure you have a lot of...
We'll have to figure out the schedule for you coming out this way.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. Take care, Jim, and have a great day.
All right. You too, JP, and everybody else on the call. Thank you, and we'll continue tomorrow and next Thursday as well. See you later.
All right. Fantastic. Bye.
Have a good day today.